We are excited. We're in our third installment of Discover You. We sent out a mailer to 26,000 people. We wanted people to know that you can discover who you are, what your purpose is, and what your full potential is. And today, we want to challenge the question that we put out across the city. And today's question we're going to answer is this: what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Why am I on the earth at this moment? Why, God, did you make me? Why am I the way that I am? Why am I designed the way that I am designed? And I need you to understand this truth. You are needed now. Look at somebody close to you and say, you're needed right now. All right, now here's what I want you to look across the room to the other side. Eyeball somebody and say, I'm talking to you. You're needed now. So we're going to answer five questions in this series. The first question we answered was, who am I? And the second question we answered is, what am I doing here? The third one we're going to answer next week is, why am I the way that I am? Why did you design me the way that I am? And God, number four, where am I going? What is your plan for my life? And number five, how do I get there? We're going to end it up with some answers, practical ways to walk that out. And so today's takeaway is this. If you have a pen, paper, I want you to write this down. The takeaway for today is this. I am here to fulfill God's purpose for my life. I am here to fulfill God's purpose for my life. Write that, please. This is amazing because I am standing before dignitaries today. You guys are all on assignment. Amen. I am honored to be here because you know what I realize? You were born on purpose. You were given an incredible assignment by the Master of the Stars. And I am honored to stand here before you because you are here on purpose. And I just want to share some of his thoughts with you as to why you are here. I think what's important for us to first examine is to re-examine what we discovered purpose is. So let's look at the definition of purpose. And it's simply this. Purpose is the original intent in the mind of the Creator that motivated him to create a particular item. Or in your case, what is the original intent for you in the mind of God that caused him, motivated him to create you? Something motivated God to create you so that you would be here right now. Purpose will explain the reason something exists. That's why it's so important that we know our purpose. And so today, I'm just going to step it, and I'm going to show you some truths. But I want you to write all this down. Now, you know, some of us don't really think in terms of how important we really are. But I just want to say this to you. Write this down. Point number one, I am unique. Write that down. I am unique. You know, unique is very important. No one has your fingerprints. No one has your personality. Nobody has your skills and talents. Nobody can do what you do. They may even look a little bit like you. People say, I look like Denzel Washington. You know? Or The Rock, you know what I mean? But although they look like me, they can never do what I do. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Well, the word unique simply means this: radically, distinctly, and without equal. Let me say that again. Radically, distinctive, and without equal. That's how I kind of like to think of myself. Radically distinctive and without equal. When God made you, he made you so unique that nobody on the planet has your fingerprints. Nobody looks exactly like you. They can't do what you do. They don't know what you knew. No. How many other 6 feet tall African-American males that weigh 240 pounds, how many of them are in the world? Probably a whole lot. Especially today on the Super Bowl. Amen. How many watching the Super Bowl today? How many going to watch that? Amen. May I encourage you, if you're going to watch the Super Bowl, invite somebody to your house. Learn to fellowship. Fellowship with people. Invite somebody who may look like they're kind of homely and don't go anywhere. There is a part of God, watch this, there is a part of God that only you can express. There may be people that look just like, have you ever seen anybody that looks like you? Who has ever done that? I was driving down the road one day, and I was driving, and I looked in a car in front of me, and I looked in his rearview mirror, and the dude was me. And I'm like, and he looked up and saw me and went, and we drove by each other, and we were just pointing at each other like, oh, my God. There's two of us. And even though we look alike, I am radically distinctive and without equal. So there is a part of God that he wants to express in the world. God is light. Somebody say light. How many colors make up light? You've got red and blue and green and orange and purple and mauve. All of them are blended together to make white light. But each of them are distinctive in their nature. You are as varied as the colors of light. And God uses them to express his beauty. I want you to look at the color of the clothes you're wearing. Each of those are unique. But they're a color of the light that God produces. And an individual expression of his love. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important to know that you are radically unique. And David was the best I've ever heard talk about this. And I want you to go to Psalms 139, verse 13. We'll start there. And he talks about how he considered his existence on this earth. Would you read it with me, starting at verse 13? Go. In other words, he says, God, you are the author of my existence. You not only how many had a grandmother that knit before? She would spend hours taking time putting that thing together. And that is the way that David describes how God made you. He, watch this, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together. And he took time to put you together. You're not, before you did anything, he found value in your life. Right. Wow. You mean to tell me you're more important than your failures? He saw purpose before you began? Oh, my God. Watch what happens. Read verse 14. This is amazing. Read it out loud. Go.
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex.
Come on. Some of you guys are confusing to me. You are complex. You have complexity in your life. And he said, David says, you know what, God? Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. I am myself. I am unique. And listen to what he says about himself. Read on. Can I say this to those in the room? Sometimes the worst enemy of ourselves is us. You know when it happens? It happens in our self-talk. You know, listen, the Bible says we must cast down every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God said your workmanship is marvelous and he knew what he was doing. So why would you say, I'm ugly? Why would you say, I'm not beautiful, nobody loves me, I'm not good for anything? That's denying the truth of the word of God. Amen. You are wonderfully complex. David said, you are marvelous. Say it with me. Marvelous. You got to have that M in there. Go. Marvelous. You've got to agree with God. And you know what? When you start, like, I don't know about you, but for years, the worst enemy of me is when I would make a mistake and I would talk to myself, you big dummy, you messed up again. Why you always do it? Oh, my God, you locked the keys in the car? Man, you're so stupid. And I'm beating myself down. Anybody else ever done that before? Stop doing that. Because you'll start believing your own words. God wants you to know that you are unique and that you were designed to celebrate yourself because you are wonderfully complex and he took time to make you. Why are you on this earth? Because he thought you were worth it. I want you to read on here. Here's what it says. He says in verse 15, go ahead and read. Are you kidding me? God was watching over you. You know, when someone's getting pregnant, they say, oh, you got bread in the oven. But how true is that? God's sitting there going, look at that bread. No, he's not licking his lips. He's not going to eat you. But you get the point. Look at that bread. It's, ooh, it's rising. It's growing. And that's how God, he was waiting with expectation for you to come. God knew you would need, you, listen, you would need it now. You're needed now. Listen, if you're part of this church, you're here to help us grow to be the largest multicultural church to reach the world. You're needed now. Not one of you is without purpose. You are amazing. You're a gift to the world. I'm not just talking smoke. I'm talking God's own word. Now listen, I need you to write this down, please. Listen, your existence is evidence. Write that down. Your existence is evidence that this generation, your existence is evidence that this generation needs something your life contains. Your existence is the evidence that this generation needs something your life contains. You wouldn't be here unless this generation needed something that you had. God said, I gotta have you right now. I need you in the world right now. Well, I'm just trying to survive, just trying to make my work. By the time we get done, I need you to realize you're more than just surviving. You have to live out what God planned for you. You are designed to fulfill God's purposes for your life. Now, you are the creation that can meet God's desired result. You must strive to be who God called you to be born to be and fulfill his plan for your life. I want to close with this very truth here out of the book of Psalms that he says in the very next verse. Would you go to verse 16? I want to show you something. Can we all read this and watch this? This is amazing. Go. What? Say that again. Say that again. Go. Hold on a second. You mean to tell me that before you were born, every day of your life was already recorded in his book? But Pastor, you don't understand. I went to jail. I made a terrible mistake. I stole some money. I got HIV. I ran away from home. I murdered somebody. I'm a liar. I drink too much. I just don't believe in myself. I suffer from depression. Your existence is evidence that someone in this generation needs what your life contains. Regardless of everything you've been through, he knew that and still sent you. He knew the worst you would do and still sent you. That is crazy. He knew I would cut a fool and And he's still sitting. My voice is cracking. I'm maturing still. I'm hitting puberty. Anyway. And he still sent you.
Come on now.
So you know what that tells me? You are more important than your problems.
Amen.
You, no matter the worst you've ever done, you're still worth it to God to come to this earth and fulfill his purpose. You are important to him to make it all work together. You can no longer hide behind your mistakes. You've got to come out and know that God made me on purpose for his purpose. You're important to me. You're important to the person sitting next to you. God made you that way. And discovering what was written in your earthly assignment is imperative so that you can find fulfillment. You've got to figure out why you're here so that you can discover your full potential. And that's what we want to do, because you know what? There are consequences when we don't know our purpose. Let me, I want you to write this down, number two. Point number two. Wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Write that down. Wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. And we can see this in our world today. Some of the people designed to be the world's greatest businessmen are nothing more than drug dealers. Some of the people designed to be the world's most caring humans turn out to be prostitutes. Some of the people designed to be the world's greatest artists are the pushers of pornography. Some of the people designed to be the world's greatest organizational thinkers are nothing more than gang lords. Some of the people designed to be the world's greatest speakers become radical terrorists. When a person doesn't know their purpose, abuse of that person is inevitable. That's why we must strive to discover God's purpose in everyday life. When we don't know our purpose, we will abuse what God has given us. And here's a good example of what that looks like. You remember when God made the earth? God made it, and it was awesome. God's original intent for mankind was to reign over the earth. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 26. I'm going to show you how when someone doesn't understand its purpose, abuse is inevitable. Abuse is inevitable. Watch this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Here's what God said. Then God said, let us make humans, human beings in our image, to be like who? No, let's be like Jay-Z. Be like Frank Sinatra. Justin Bieber. Definitely not. God says, I want you to be like me. They will what? They were what?
Reign.
They were what?
Reign.
You were designed to reign. That means not to be below, but above. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. Okay, for those from West Virginia, they eat groundhog. They do eat groundhog. Anybody from West Virginia? One person. Phew. Safe. Okay. Verse 27. Watch this. Watch this. It's incredible. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. What? Male and female, he created them. Verse 29 is where it all comes together. And he says these words in verse 29. Then God said, look, and he's talking to you and I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. In Genesis, no one ate meat. Even the animals didn't eat meat. You ever ask the question, how can they get on the ark and not to destroy each other? Because until Genesis chapter 9, everybody ate the fruit of the tree. There were no carnivorous people on the planet. Check it. No one ate meat. There was no death. No one was killing each other. Animals weren't going after each other. They could sit on the ark together. Not today. Not with me. Is that a pig? Woo, bacon. Bacon, 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 bacon. I gotta stop. Jeez. But when we don't, well, listen, our purpose was to reign over everything, but when we don't discover our purpose of why it was created for us, the creation was created for us, and we were to reign over it, we abuse what's created. We were made to rule over the trees and the plants, and they were to bring life. But because we don't know their purpose, we find ourselves bowing down to them. And we let the trees and the seeds reign over us. What are you talking about, Pat Steve? Let me say this. There is nothing wrong with the cocoa plant until you crush it and make it into cocaine. There is nothing wrong with the cannabis plant until you crush it up and make weed. Marijuana? Weed. Hash. Grass. No. There's nothing wrong with a tobacco plant until you let it dry out and you try to smoke it. And all of these have caused people to be addicted. They were made by God. But when you don't know the purpose for them, abuse is inevitable. And what happens is we fall under its influence. Instead of reigning over it, many of us are bowing down to plants. We now bow down to trees. We bow down to bushes. And that's foolishness. God is trying to get us back to remember that we must know our purpose. And the same thing happens in relationships with married couples. God says in Genesis chapter 2, 18, if you'll turn there, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, he said these words. He said, then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who's just right for him. Do you hear what the verse says? It says, our mates are to be our helpers. It's not to be our happiness. Well, you don't make me happy. You're not making me happy with my life. Because of you, I'm not. Just screwed it right off. Your mate isn't there to make you happy. They're there to help you know God and do your purpose. God makes you happy. He's the source of your joy. He is the God you should be after. And so many times when we get mad, we go, it's because of you my life is. It's because of you. God sent me to you, woman. God sent me to you, man. I'm trying to help you. And oftentimes, because we don't understand purpose, we abuse the very ones God gave us to help us. You have to know that God holds the ultimate purpose for your life and no one else. So I challenge you today, surrender to God. Surrender your life, your gifts, your talents, your abilities. Surrender who you are to God. He has a master plan for your life. Amen. Let me give you point number three. Write this down. We're almost out of here. Point number three is the world needs me and the purpose for which I was born. The world needs me and the purpose for which I was born. Would everyone say that with me, please? Go.
The world needs me
You are not an accident. Amen. Why are you here? Because he meant for you to be here. You have a purpose for which you were born. And you know what? You're not ignored by God. God knows everything about you. He put you here on purpose, and he put you where you are right now, and he knows what he's doing. Let me prove it to you. I want you to go to the book of Acts, verse 17, chapter 17, verse 26. Acts 17, verse 20. Very powerful verse, if you ever read it. And here's what he says. He lays out the truth of the races. The truth of the races. He says, from one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. Listen, we're all related. Turn to look at somebody next to you, either your brother or your sister. Say, you're my. Turn to the other side, say the same thing. Okay? We're all related. This is like one big family reunion. One big family reunion. And we got that strange uncle over there. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Watch this. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the what? Whole earth. And this is the truth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. And he determined their boundaries. He decided where people would end up. And here's the key when I say surrender your life to him, for he has your purpose. It's because of verse 27. For in him we live. Wait. That's not the verse 28. For in him we live and move and exist. You see that? In him we live and move and exist. Who you are, you can't discover outside of Jesus. He created you, and in him your purpose will be found. Why are you here? It's because he sent you here, and if you want to know your purpose, you want to know him. Amen. In him we live and move and have our being. You know, one thing I think about is the car. The car is a very complex vehicle. It's made up of many, many, many different parts. But I want to ask you, what do you think is the most important or needed part of the car? How many think the wheel? The driver. Well, that actually didn't come with the car. But that's good. You shouted out, Shantae. Again. Shantae. She is awesome. I love you. The wheel, right? The wheel, no. What about the radio? What about the AC in Florida? All these mosquitoes, the windshield. The ignition switch. The brakes. Here's the truth. All are important to make the car work to its full potential. Every part is necessary. Everything about you, everything about the car was put there on purpose. The point is, you were put here with the rest of us to fulfill a purpose. There's not one of you that's not needed to make God's purpose work. We are connected one to another. If you are out of place, something ain't gonna work. Did you hear what I just said? If even one of you are out of place, something is not going to work. You know, many years ago, I played football in high school, and I was what they called a guard. And as you'll see in the Super Bowl today, that's the guy right next to the center, and he's a big dude. And you get down, and you get in your position like this, and then you hike the ball, and I'm usually running around, blocking for the running back, and I'm knocking people down or trying to. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's a man right now. Yeah. But then here's what happened. I thought, You know what the most important thing about my life? You know my position is? My arms and my strength. Because I need that to knock people down. Yeah. And then we played a play, and the tackle fell on my foot and broke my toe. And I went to get in position. Oh, ooh, coach. And the coach said, what's wrong? I said, he broke my toe. His coach was like, really? Get back in the game. And I found I could not play. It ended my football career because of a broken toe. Because of a big toe. I thought it was the smallest part of my body, and yet I could no longer function without it. I want you to look your neighbor in the eye right now, and I want you to say these words to them. Look at them. You are. My big toe. That's some spiritual words there, baby. That came right out of the Bible. You're my big toe, baby. If you're broken, we can no longer play the game, guys. You are that important to the world. You are that important to me. You are that important to this church. I need you for our church to grow. I need you inviting people to church. I need you serving somewhere in this congregation. I need you going and telling people about Jesus and talking to them, your neighbor, your friends, your relatives. I need you serving God. And if you don't stay in your place, then we cannot play this game. We are sidelined as a people. I want you to understand this, that you play a special function in the world. As we get ready to close, I want you to write this at number four, our last point here. Man, it's going to be our last point here. Surrender your life back to God's purposes. Write that down. God, I'm going to surrender my life back to your purposes. Why am I here? Well, God, I'm here to serve you. And the only way I can find out what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to quit holding back my life. Some of you are trying to save your life, and you're going to lose it. You're trying to save your time so you can go to the football game, baseball game, do everything else. But all those gifts and talents were meant to be used by Jesus. You were designed for his purposes, but you give it to the world, and you're trying to save your life. Well, I don't want to spend all my time there. I'm tired of helping people. People always hurt me. I don't want to be at the church. I'm always at the church. Listen to me. Your purpose is wrapped up in him, and he, in him you live, and in him you move, and in him you breathe and have your being. Listen to me. Surrender yourself. God, I'll give you my life. I'll give you my gifts, my talent. Maybe you're designed to be a giver. Then don't hoard your money. Give it, and give it cheerfully. If you're a person who loves children, then teach them and do it faithfully. If you're a great leader, lead and be faithful about it. Surrender your life to him. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4. It says this. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. That's what you are. You have a special function for God. Verse 5, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Don't you dare hold yourself back from me. Did you hear what I just said? Don't you dare hold yourself back from me. You have gifts and talents I need. Sir, on the end, you've got gifts and talents I need. You're designed by God to do great things. You may think it doesn't matter, but sir, you matter. You are more important in God's eyes than you ever knew. You, without you, something in this world will break apart. You are God's best. You're that important. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you hold yourself back. If you have ability to serve, you better serve. You better give what you have so you may find out why God gave it to you. Look what it says. We belong to each other. Verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Everybody here is good at something. We have one member here that is good at making banana bread. If that is all she was born to do, she's good at that. Oh my. It makes me happy. I pray better. She makes my life happy. Watch this. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, listen to me, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Verse 7, if your gift is serving others, man, I just said this, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. Verse 8, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. Stop depressing people. Man, I don't know, man. I don't know. Don't be quiet. If you're an encourager, encourage. I'll move my page. Watch this. If it's giving, give generously. You don't have to be asked. Just do it. Pastor, I'm giving $1,000. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to say, sir, you can take that $1,000 and you can put it in the offering. Thank you. If God has given you the ability for leadership, take that responsibility seriously. Amen. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. God, you're here to help somebody, but you can only find it in Jesus. Surrender all. Would you stand?